Lord, we pray now, we open your word, that it would be a lamp unto our feet, a light to our path, and you would hide it in our heart that we may not sin against you. Amen. I love that passage of scripture, the gospel Bracken read, and I guess we won't know till we go be with Jesus what he actually wrote, right? We can speculate, but whatever it did convicted them, right? Starting with the elder, and he got on out of there. So I think he's probably writing their sins in the sand, you know, so they could see it. And so maybe some hidden things in their heart, right? They thought about, uh-oh, we better leave before we get, as we're getting exposed. It's kind of a word that's been just going in my heart for a while, and just asking the Lord for greater revelation. And, you know, we hear Christ the King all the time, that Jesus, of course, lived an above life. In John chapter 3, when John the Baptist is speaking of Jesus, he said he's from above, speaks from above. He is of the earth, speaks of the earth. And that Jesus always spoke from above, from a heavenly perspective. All through the Gospel of John, he only spoke what he say he heard the Father say. He only did what he could see the Father doing. And in his relationship with God, showing how we're supposed to live like that. That's the normal Christian life, being spirit-filled, hearing God, and only doing what he says. So I just want to get plugged into that in a greater way, don't you? We all do. Our goal in life is to hear God's voice better. And that's always something we never reach, you know, we never like reach it like I hear him, you know, we see through a glass darkly, or we see in part, as scripture says, but then, you know, when we go be with him, we'll hear and see and know fully, right? But even in seeing in the part, or seeing through a glass darkly like a fog, I want to be able to see a little bit clearer through the fog, don't you? And this is just something he's been talking to me about, and it goes along with about being in Christ. Out of Romans 12, familiar verses to us, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living holy sacrifice, which is acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. You know, presenting all of our body, right? Or all of it, even our thoughts, everything we present to God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, or that word's where we get our word metamorphosis from, by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what God's will is. By the renewing of your mind. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. So I just started thinking about that, about the renewing of the mind. And I'm going to read these scriptures and kind of bring it down to a point. This is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But we preach Christ crucified, the Jews a stumbling block and Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greek, Christ is the power of God and he is the wisdom of God. By his doing, by God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That Jesus doesn't give you that, he is that, right? He dwelling within us is the wisdom of God, okay? Come back to here. Colossians. Should have had all these marked. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom, in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ, all the treasures in the world of wisdom and knowledge are in him. And where are we? In Christ. Okay? Now, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We do not speak of wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages of glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Just as it is written, things which the eye has not seen or ear has heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared to those who love him. Right? Which is, isn't that an awesome verse? He's speaking about Christ being the wisdom and the mystery of God, okay? For to us, God revealed them through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit who is from God, so that we might know the things given to us by God. Things which we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Okay? Letting us know that the Holy Spirit gives us the very thoughts of God. Okay? And he gives us, not only gives us the thoughts of God, but he puts words with them. We can speak them. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is a spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he would instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay? And I've just been thinking about that a lot lately. Not just, okay, that's a cool verse, but that we really have the mind of Christ. And according to the scripture before that, what he's trying to let us know is that the Holy Spirit living within you searches the thoughts of God and gives them to us. Because the Holy Spirit's job, number one job, is to make Christ real to us and to make us be able to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Taking the very thoughts of God, or the mind of Christ, you know, both and giving it to us. Meaning that we contain the mind of Christ and His thoughts about everything. He is the wisdom of God, and all knowledge dwells in Him. That's pretty profound, isn't it? Not that I'm saying something profound, I'm just saying that is profound. That we have, all of us, whether you have a real good knowledge of Scripture or not, this was written to people who didn't have the Scripture, remember? They didn't have it. These were letters written to them, or Paul was there teaching them about Christ. In the book of Galatians, he said, I will remain with you until Christ is formed in you. All these people most of them were illiterate, but they still contain the mind of Christ. They knew they had to have deep fellowship with Him. And we know, you know, we were talking about this at Bible study last night, and, you know, how do we know it's, well, you know, it's God. You know, it's not going to contradict His Word, but that's not what we're trying to talk about here. We want to just grasp that we do have that. And in every situation in my life, everything I face, James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him do what? Ask. And that wisdom is not just something that just kind of floats down to us and hopefully we get up under it and catch it. It's within you. You have it. That's part of the new covenant. I will write my laws on their heart. I will dwell in them and my word will be in them. And it comes to us like that. So we contain that, y'all. We contain His life, but we contain the mind of Christ. Even when we're doing battle with thoughts or something, you know, we're just seeing something and thinking of fear or negative thoughts, we can stop and say, wait a minute, I have the mind of Christ. I receive it. All we have to do is just receive it. We take thoughts captive. What does that mean, taking captive? It means you taking it to what we talk about all the time. Ted last night, the finished work of Christ. He's already done it. So when I take thoughts captive, I'm bringing it to the finished work of Christ, celebrating that and receiving His thoughts. So anything we're facing, you know, and I was thinking, praying for Kelly this morning, thinking, okay, God, Kelly has the mind of Christ. And so give him your thoughts because he's asking for a plan right now. So give him your thoughts. He has the mind of Christ. It's His. We have access to it 24/7. The Holy Spirit is, matter of fact, if you go read Romans chapter 8, we don't have time. It says, you know, that we don't know how to pray as we should. That makes me feel good. None of us know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit is searching. And He's you know, searching the heart of God. And He comes to us as we're praying, and as we're praying in the Spirit, and just drops the thoughts of God in us. Because those words intercede, you remember we did that one time. It's two words for intercede. One is to meet with, and the other is to put you on point. Make sure you're hitting the target. And that's part of the job of the Holy Spirit when we're praying. We just let the Lord stir that within you. Just think about that today. Kind of, you know, that's what a homily is. Just kind of get the word of the day and something you think about. That each of you have the mind of Christ. You have all the wisdom. He has all the wisdom and knowledge in the universe. And He became wisdom from God. And if we do something very simple, just ask God, give me your wisdom. And it says, ask in faith, don't doubt, you'll have it. And the thoughts of God, spiritual thoughts will come and give you spiritual words. And you can know His heart and His mind and His thought in every situation. It's a lot easier when you do that. He is the wisdom. And you all contain it. You don't have to grow and read a bunch of stuff and make sure, you know, you got it. By faith, receive it. Amen? All right.